The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk and listen.
This is a voice guy from your favorite podcast, Two Douchebags and a Microphone. People often ask us how they can find us when doing a remote broadcast. One, smell. Go to the city market and start sniffing. Our aroma has been described as a mixture of flea powder for goats, Tabasco sauce, and old sock with dark fuzzy urine. Two, look for the spot absent of patrons. Three, the most telling sign is a crowd of patrons vomiting uncontrollably. Four, just call us at 816-512-7717.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Good news. If your good old pal, your dog, survives the apocalypse too, Broadleaf Plantation is a good answer for both of you. The entire plant is edible from root to tip. Can be roasted or raw and is safe for canines and humans.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
You know, musically, there was cassette tapes. It had an A and a B. So no wonder the next evolution would be a CD.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Dishwalla has the top 10 spots on Billboard Hot 100.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
Oh shit! Look at that drive-thru wine! Surely we don't expect me to actually have to go in. This sucks.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
So, Rob, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Good. A little wore out.
Yeah, I understand.
Busy day.
So. Believe it or not, even though I didn't work today, I mean, I usually have Tuesdays and Wednesdays off. I'm pretty tired, too. Done a lot of yard work and a lot of stuff. A lot of big item junk stuff that we just don't need anymore. Giving away some stuff and just, I mean, we're just trying to declutter the whole area, including the garage, and it's quite a chore. So, anyhow, but I mean, all in all, it's coming pretty good, and it's coming along good, so we're pretty happy about that. So, anyhow, so kind of busy around here, and then we're going to go to Eureka Springs Monday, Memorial Day, for like 3 days in a row, and then come back, so that'll be pretty fun, and we might even do, if you want to, maybe like Saturday or Sunday night, do an extra podcast just to throw out while I'm gone. But we'll see. I mean, we don't necessarily have to. We got a huge library of shows, so, you know. So anyhow, it just depends on how we feel about it, so it's a possibility. Anyhow, the first...
Depends on time, too.
Yeah, and time also, you're right, because we need time for this, and we don't always have time, so... Anyhow, we shall see. If not, like I said, we have like 200 shows they can catch up on if they, you know. So, all right. There is this bridge on Independence Avenue in northeast section of Kansas City, and Rob, I know you know about this, okay? The railroad bridge that I think it takes Union Pacific over the avenue from the late 50s to the present. Okay, the truck eating bridge. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know exactly which bridge you're talking about.
That was going on when I was 5 or 6. I mean, I remember that. I remember going by and going, what the hell happened? And my dad's like, yeah, someone didn't know that the bridge was that short and the truck got stuck and, you know, and I'm like, wow. So anyhow, I believe it's Union Pacific. And anyhow, you know, the reason they don't do new bridges over railroads, you know, on railroad tracks is because, quite frankly, it shuts down the railroad for too long. They can't build it that fast, and there's so much demand for stuff being moved by railroad, it is extremely hard to build a new bridge.
Right.
So, it's not like a money thing. People are like, well, can't they shell out the money to just build a new bridge? Yes. They can't afford to have the line shut down for that long is the problem. So, anyhow, I don't think a lot of people realize that, but that's the real issue. Not money. It's the real issue is shutting down the freight for that long is simply just not feasible. So, you know, this is a notorious bridge that has killed budding truck drivers' careers since its conception. It has been estimated that over the years, a total of 400-plus trucks have been stuck, usually shaving the top of the trailer off, or the other thing is, you know, crumpling it like aluminum foil. It just...
Right.
You know, it just depends, you know, on how the truck went in and what kind of truck it is. I've even seen garbage trucks go under there, and it was just a little bit too maybe an inch or two too long for the bridge in height, and it will just crumple like a garbage truck or a box truck, not like a regular semi. It will just crumple them like aluminum foil, and a lot of times they'll just toss it over, which is very dangerous. So, okay, so... You know, it'll aluminum foil them and all this stuff. The city has tried various means to try and stop the stupidity, like installing warning lights, a sign that blinks, that if you're over this tall, you will get stuck. You know, like a Ferris wheel or a, roller coaster. They'll have a cartoon guy out there, right, and he'll have his hand out, and he'll go, hang on there, partner. If you're not over this tall and his hands are, you can't ride, right? And it's like something cute like that. Well, they even did something like that. They had a height thing over there and lights blinking and saying, attention, if your truck is this tall or more, do not go under this. But people still do. Yeah, the warning light that blinks, you know. And anyhow, so this has stopped nothing. So the wise ones of the city, they have a new plan, Rob. You know what it is?
What's that?
They will have warning murals painted all over the bridge to hopefully get the truckers' attention before it's too late. Well, I know they're probably out of options, right? But if warning lights and if you're this tall, don't go under, didn't work, do you think a mural's going to work? I mean, honestly.
No. They'd be too busy looking at the damn mural.
Yeah, they're not even going to know what it's about. Yeah, they're going to go, hey, that's a cool mural. And then fucking everything crashes. So, anyhow, you know, I was just like kind of blown away by this thought. I'm like, really? You know, so, you know, I will this work? I'm betting no. But we shall see. I'll shut my mouth from now on and until we see if people still, and I'm betting that it's not going to stop anything. So, now how about a mural that shows a city not getting shot up by criminals? And, you know, maybe want paying an affordable, you know, property tax? You know, maybe like John Doe with some dough? Or how about, you know, like not painting a Mr. Retiree sleeping on a bench because his property taxes were not affordable? How about that? If a mural's going to work, then let's try that. Let's put murals all over the bad parts of town where people are getting shot and have, like, everybody loving each other and hugging each other, right?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, if that works, then there you go. So what I'm doing is illustrating another what I believe is a stupid move by the city of Kansas City, grasping at straws, swinging in the air, and trying to get something done, but doing it in reverse and fucking backwards, you know. So anyhow, so I will get off that, you know. You're welcome. Just a thought, what have you. Okay, a new report says Americans traveling have left over a million, I'm sorry, in confiscated products that are not allowed by a plane, allegedly. You know, now could they maybe not work on allowing unreasonable baggage fees? Or how about working on not letting a voucher that expires? You know, how about another one? Don't allow dickheads at the airport while you're at it. Oh, wait. Nope, can't do that. That'll take off half the TSA agents.
Right.
So we can't do that. They won't have enough TSA and they wouldn't be able to fly planes. So, okay, scratch the dickhead thing, okay? Just like, you know, we scratched Mother Nature off the ass paddling list because evidently we really pissed her off. Scratch this
right.
off the list. Yeah. Anyhow, you know, back to the drawing board. Good luck, guys. But anyhow, McDonald's made headlines recently when they started to offer a $5 lunch meal deal. Wendy's just answered back with a $3 breakfast combo that will offer seasoned potatoes and an English muffin sandwich. So Burger King just offered a free air sandwich with the purchase of another air sandwich at a regular price. How about that, huh? So you get some air, but hold the mustard if you don't want it in your lap. That's just my suggestion, Rob. Nothing for nothing. That's just what I'm saying. You know, air sandwiches do not hold mustard very well. So just be careful when you're eating.
They don't.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
But it's buy one, get one free, so why not get an air sandwich, right? Yeah. All right. Okay. So by now, I think you might have heard of this. I don't know, Rob. But by now, I think everyone has just heard about Arrowhead canceling 3 Pearl Jam shows in defense of Harrison Butker. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I had my doubts when I first read the news. You know, I knew that Pearl Jam isn't popular enough act right now to sell out a concert at Arrowhead, let alone 3. You know, so I took to the internet and saw where Kansas City wasn't even a stop on their tour. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. Pearl Jam was never big enough in their heyday in the grunge late 1990s to sell out one capacity crowd at Arrowhead. So what makes anyone think that they could sell out 3 right now? Taylor Swift could.
Right.
I don't know, maybe a Beyonce could. No, even she didn't. She went to T-Mobile and I think she did maybe 2 shows. I think it might have even been 1. So, you know, even the biggest acts, the huge acts, would have trouble selling out 3 at Arrowhead. So all these people bid on this thing, and it's like the big hubbub. People are, you know, the scuttlebutt is, oh my God, you know, Arrowhead defended Harrison Butker. Oh gosh, man, and Pearl Jam lost millions of dollars, and they're pissed, and they're thinking about suing. No, none of it's true. Fake news. You know, this started out as a meme, and, you know, and someone got a ha-ha out of posting it for real. That's how it started. It started out as a meme. It was tongue-in-cheek. It was illustrating through the absurd, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it was never meant to make people think that actually happened. It was like, oh yeah, watch this, ha-ha. But people took it from there and ran with it. And right now, I would say half of the people that are even interested thinks that Arrowhead stopped 3 Pearl Jam shows. So, anyhow, it's just stupid because people don't bother, you know, to even research this stuff. You know, Eddie Vedder will do anything to try to catch a cheap headline anymore. You know, Eddie, just go away. Self-righteous musician needs a fucking hobby, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Butker was displaying free speech just like the Hamas demonstrators. It can't be just one in a free society, right, Vedder? Perhaps Instead of Birkenstock shopping on Amazon or looking for the next man bun accessories, you should brush up on your constitution, Mr. Vetter. Until then, shut the fuck up. So, you heard what he said. You know, he called Harrison Butker a pussy and went on a big tirade about him. We don't care, Vetter. Do what?
I said, yep.
Yeah. You're talking about a guy that had been strung out on drugs, allegedly, his whole life. What do I care what this Birkenstock-wearing fucking smelly fucking hippie says? I don't give 1 ounce of shit about him. As a matter of fact, he can go away forever and my life would be better. I think that he's a complete fucking douchebag for even commenting on anything. And this goes for the rest of all these people that think they know more than us. This goes for fucking Roger Waters, and this goes for, who else does it? Shit, I know there's a really good example. Oh, Bono from U2? Okay. You guys think that America is so fucking bad, don't make your money over here. Go. Leave. Go to the country that you love so much. You know, so if you're demonstrating, go to that country and live. See how well you can demonstrate against that country. I'm fucking sick of it. All these people are like just dividing everything with their bullshit. So, anyhow, you know what? I mean, I would like to see Pearl Jam actually concentrate on music. Maybe they could put an album out worth the fuck anymore. But, you know, I'm going to go ahead and shut up right there. Yeah, had to be said, right?
Right.
Okay, well, on other news, dating apps are now looking into the red but no replies in their site. So a red but no reply is, it's like this. A man is interested in a woman, right? And he sends her a note. He could see that she read it, but she never gave a reply. You know, this is cowardly and shitty, you know, you won't even reply to him, right? So the guy's kind of like left hanging, and he's like, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe she just didn't get back to it and forgot or whatever. So due to a number of complaints by many dating apps, are looking into suspending a user after so many no replies. You know, so, you know, let's get on a, in my opinion, let's get on an app that's a little bit more, needed, okay? Let's get on a app that's like you park like a brain dead gerbil on heroin app. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in. Because a lot of fucks, they park like a brain-dead gerbil on fucking heroin. And I would love to tell these people, by app, hey, fuckface, you just took up 3 parking spaces, there aren't any left. But, you know, no one would ever think of that because that's something that we could really use. You know, and if they did come out with that, I would purchase the premium plan right off the bat, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Unlimited insults for, I don't know, like $10.99 a month or whatever. The first plan, the first one is like 10 insults for like $5.99, and then you can go premium and it's unlimited insults. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, you'd be just completely like, there's another one. Okay. Well, okay. Send him a note. Send that asshole note. So, anyhow, that is all of the first third today. I really didn't have a whole lot other to say than that. I just kind of focused on a few items. So, anyhow, Rob, we turn to you to go to some stuff that you want to go to.
Okay, and I found this on Barstool Sports.
Okay.
The NFL is coming off the heels of a terrible year of officiating, allegedly.
Yeah.
Every week, I threw that in.
No, I love it. I love it when...
Do what?
I said I love it when we do that, allegedly. It's kind of making fun of it. Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Every week was a disaster, whether it be roughing the passer, pass interference call, or something as simple as spotting the ball. Well, it seems that one of those areas is about to see a makeover, finally. And on a post on X, Ari Moronov at MySportsUpdate, potential big change to NFL plans to trial an electronic system for measuring first downs during preseason games. If the trial is successful and receives approval, the tracking system will be fully implemented for the 2024 NFL regular season.
So they're that close to where they'll do it this season if it works?
According to this gentleman, they're going to try it during this preseason.
I love it. I think
if it works, they're going to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I like that idea. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I do too.
I think something was needed like this for a long time.
If you go in and read this story, there's a lot of rants. A lot of people saying how old it is to have two guys out there. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a waste of time.
Well, okay, and another thing is what I've seen happen is okay, you'll see a preponderance of evidence up there on the board of the guy making the first down, and the referee said no, he was here, when he was obviously a little bit further up and he made the first down. But the referee looks to me like he won't do it because he doesn't want to look like he's wrong.
Right.
So you see that. You'll see that look on their face like, no, I made the right call, even though they know that they didn't. And the thing is their pride is more than them getting the call right in some occasions, and that's bullshit. If you can do something like this, and it automatically just proves it, then, you know, keep the referees out of it. That way you don't have personal feelings in it, you know? It's like, look, you can't be offended because you made the wrong call now. You can't have your feelers hurt or whatever, you know? So I'm all for that. Was there any more to the article, Rob?
There was a lot more to the article, but that's all I'm going to go in.
Hey, I got
you. Like I said, if anybody wants to read more into it, it's on Barstool Sports.
Okay. I think I will read into that because I want to know a little bit more about the logistics of it. Is it AI? Is that what you said? Or is it?
No, it didn't say anything about AI.
That's what I was wondering, if they're going to take the AI angle, or if they're taking, like, all different camera and drone positions to do this. I'm going to have to read into it because I'm pretty curious about how they think this is going to happen. So.
Yeah, this does not go into any of that.
None of that, okay.
My guess would be cameras.
Probably.
It says electronic measuring.
Okay, they're probably precision cameras all over stationed all over the field and up above. And it probably has something that feeds into a computer. And then it says, all right, because all these angles show and support this, this is what it is. So,
right.
Yeah, so that would be my guess, and I'm all for it. If they can get the calls right, and like I said, a lot of times you know what the referee is doing. He's like, I'm not going to admit to being wrong. Uh-uh, my call was right. And he won't reverse it. And then someone gets screwed. So, that's fantastic, man. All right. Let's take our first break, Rob, and we'll come right back. That sound good?
Sounds good.
All righty.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Why can't I just buy a can of thin paint? Why do I always have to go buy paint thinner? I may never know.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Oh wow, look. The Wayne Newton Channel is the highest rated network.
We are two douchebags and microphone.
As charming as a leaky sewer pipe.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
In Tolupo, Mississippi, a structural steel company built a small bridge to go over a pothole that had been on the road for 3 years.
Hi, all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. Who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes. Ugh.
A panic-stricken man explained to his doctor, "You have to help me. I'm shrinking." The doctor said, "I will. You have to be a little patient."
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
During an apocalypse, don't forget the nuts. Hickory nuts, that is. Yeah, we know hickory wood gets all the glory and all the love. Everyone loves the hickory trees. They cut them down and they make great sandwiches out of barbecue and meats. They smoke them and it's a fantastic deal. But little does anyone know about the hickory nuts. During an apocalypse, hickory nuts could be the best thing you can find. Hickory nuts can be eaten raw, toasted, or added to various recipes. Their rich, buttery flavor and crunchy texture make them an ideal ingredient for both sweet and savory dishes. You can use hickory nuts to make nut butter, pesto, or even a unique hickory nut milk. There are 5 types of hickory nuts. Bitternut hickory, shagbark hickory, pignut hickory, mockernut hickory, and smoothbark hickory. Hickory trees are considered part of the walnut species and are plentiful, at least around Missouri and surrounding areas. So, during an apocalypse, don't forget to grab your nuts.
Two douchebags and microphone. Mark here.
And I'm Rob.
You know, Katy Perry, her last night on American Idol was last night, right?
That's what I heard.
Yep. Well, she's getting a lot of flack over something that happened. During a tribute to her, because this was her last season with American Idol, and it was the last show last night, and they picked a winner, a sack of beach balls was released on the stage and crowd. Perry is an admitted fan of pizza. She loves pizza. And they had a pizza delivered to her chair. So during the tribute of all these beach balls and lights and everything, someone threw a beach ball at Perry and hit her in the face. And it's pretty brutal. I mean, I know it's not a Nerf ball. So it's going to sting a little bit at least, right? Not to mention, right, you're on live TV and getting smashed right in the noggin with a beach ball full force. Kind of sucks, right? So naturally, yeah, she was probably pretty pissed off, I bet. So so then she responded by throwing pizza slices in the general direction that the ball came from. So the camera panned to the crowd quickly, but in a split second it showed a young female fan getting hit in the face with a slice of pizza. Okay, Rob, this is what I say, and I want to hear what you say. I say fair game. Nothing to see here. Now, if it was bowling balls or even a tennis ball that she was throwing at him instead of a pizza slice, I'd say, okay, but a pizza slice, no way. Cost of doing business, move along, pharmacy closed, exit stage left, end copy. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And maybe that lady that got hit in the face did had nothing to do with it. Collateral damage. You know, how many wars were killed by their own people accidentally? You know, oh shit, I shot so and so. Oh damn it. Well, yep. Cost of doing business. That's the way it is. You get hit in the face with a pizza. Now, unless it was scalding hot, which I don't believe it was, I say, who cares? So someone got a little bit of fucking greasy pasta sauce on their face. Okay. Now, if it ruined, like, they had an expensive dress on or something, and it was, like, a light color, and it ruined it, then okay, maybe they have somewhat of a claim, right? It's like, look, I didn't throw it.
And I'm sure the show would take care of the cleaning.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they'd be like, okay, well, what's it going to cost to make this go away? Okay, yeah. 5,000? Okay, here you go. Now get out of here. Sorry about that pizza. You know, they'll make it go away, I'm sure. So, anyhow, I'm saying a big non-issue, and the fact that that people made this a big issue is just a testament to how bored people are. So, anyhow, Rob,
yeah,
you got...
I agree. It sounds to me like it was just all in fun.
Yeah, and I don't think Katy Perry was necessarily, like, trying to hurt somebody. I think she was just kind of like, okay... Gauntlet just thrown down. You throw a beach ball, hit me in the face. I'm going to throw a little pizza at you. So if you get hit in the face with it, well, that's the way it goes. So
it makes for good ratings.
Yeah. I watched it on YouTube, and it was no big deal. Mm-hmm. It was no big deal. She wasn't pissed, right. Screaming, shaking her fist in the air or something, you know? So anyhow. All right, Rob, you got something?
Yeah, I do. I got you an American songwriter.
Oh, you love me. I could tell.
Yes, I do.
Yep, you have to get me another one of those.
Four artists or bands that were banned from touring Europe.
Oh, I know one of them, but go ahead.
Okay, first, the Beatles.
Mm-hmm, that's who I knew, but go ahead.
For anyone who has tracked the history of the Beatles, one thing is clear. The masses went mad for the former Mop Tops. When the group arrived in the United States in 1964, heads nearly exploded from the screaming fans. In fact, touring got so crazy, the group just stopped doing it after 1966, 4 years before they broke up. And it's because of this crazy behavior from France that the Israeli government banned the band from coming into its country in 1964.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Beatles were banned from Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember that clearly.
Next, in 2015... Fred Durst, the guy known for wearing a backwards red baseball cap and singing about Nookie, openly talked about moving to the city of Crimea. His wife, after all, is from the area. He talked about wanting to get a Russian passport and even wrote a letter saying that Russian President Vladimir Putin was a great guy with clear moral principles and a nice person. That led to a 5-year ban by the Security Service of Ukraine, citing the interest of guaranteeing the security of our state and alleging Durst was involved in pro-Russian propaganda. Not a great move by Durst.
Let's face it, Durst is not known for making great decisions anyhow.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying Ukraine is better off that he did that. Because now they don't have to put up with his slimy ass. So, there you go. Right. It was like the trash taking itself out, right?
True.
Yeah.
Okay, next. Chris Brown can't seem to stop the violence. The pop singer who famously assaulted Rihanna has more recently gotten himself in trouble in the United Kingdom for another assault accusation. In February 2023, Brown was questioned by British authorities regarding assault on a London music producer. Brown was accused of smashing a bottle over the band's head in a nightclub. Now, Brown could face arrest if he comes back to the country and all this happened in the wake of a prior banishment of Brown by the UK after he assaulted Rihanna. He was allowed back into the country in 2020, but that seems to be changed again.
I go back to Fred Durst. They're better off without the idiot being there.
Yeah.
So, like I said, like on Fred Durst too, the trash taking itself out is not a bad thing. Let it be. No pun intended. Because we're just talking about the Beatles.
Right.
All right, I'll stop. Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
The next one, I don't know who this is, person. In 2015, music star Tyler, the creator, was barred from the United Kingdom for inciting terrorism. But that sounds worse than it really is.
Tyler, the creator?
Matt.
Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm looking him up.
As the matter had to do with lyrics in a few 2009 songs, wrote Tyler on Twitter when the band came down.
He's an American rapper and singer. He's a rapper. Okay.
Okay. Based on lyrics from 2009, I am not allowed in the UK for 5 to 3 years, or 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was there 8 weeks ago, that is why the shows that had been scheduled in the UK and Ireland were canceled. Responded officials that tweet, coming to the UK is a privilege and we expect those who come here to respect our shared values.
Okay.
I do not know who he is.
I go back to what I said about the other two. If I was them, I would just act like they're not going to get over it and just say, well, you can't come back. That's it. So,
right.
I get it. Anyhow, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay.
That was all four.
Oh, four. I thought there was... Okay. You said four, and somehow my ears heard five. So, anyhow, yeah, that's cool. I get it. So...
Yeah.
All right. You remember anything about the American Airlines where that I believe it was a flight attendant was videotaping in a bathroom and he happened to get like a 9-year-old girl videotape?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember that.
Well, there's a little bit more about this that was rather surprising. I'm not a big fan of American Airlines, but I didn't think that this here, they retracted it, but I'll go into it, was going to happen, because this, to me, in my opinion, is pretty low. But one day after lawyers for American Airlines urged a 9-year-old child acted negligently. Hey, I said it. When a 9-year-old child acted negligently. I knew I was going to fuck it up. I should not have tried it the second time. When she was recorded by a hidden camera in an airplane laboratory, the airline is backpedaling that defense. They said she acted negligent. Okay? When she was just using the bathroom in an airline. How could she be negligent? Right? You're just using the bathroom and you're a 9-year-old girl. You're not thinking some creep is videotaping you. That should not be on her register. It should not be in her thought process at all. FBI agents knocked on a 9-year-old's family home almost a year after the alleged incident in January 2023 to inform her parents that the videos of the child were found on a phone belonging to a former flight attendant who is currently in custody. The airline on Wednesday said in a statement about the filing, "Our outside legal counsel retained with our insurance company made an error in this filing. The included defense is not representative of our airline, and we have directed it to be amended this morning. We do not believe this child is at fault, and we take the allegations involving the former team member very seriously. Our core mission is to care for people. And the foundation of that is the safety and security of our customers and team. The court filing was submitted on behalf of American Airlines on Tuesday in response to a civil lawsuit filed by the 9-year-old parents in Texas District Court against the airline and the flight attendant. Estes Carter Thompson III, who allegedly recorded the child. Well, number one, he had three names, so that means he's fucked, right? John Wayne Gacy,
yeah.
Mark David Chapman. Yeah. You're a criminal if you have three names, just saying. Allegedly. The filing, which generally denied the allegations and raises several affirmative defenses, including contributory negligence, states defendant would show that any injuries or illnesses alleged to have been sustained by plaintiff Mary Doe was proximately caused by the plaintiff's own fault and negligence. So, okay, I have so many, I could go on, but I'm just going to stop it right there because I think everybody gets the idea of this. So what American Airlines, to me, I know they retracted it, okay, but it sounds to me like at first what they said was, it's your fault. You should have known someone was fucking recording your 9-year-old girl in the bathroom. Isn't that what it sounds like?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like they're trying to say.
Okay, number one, a 9-year-old girl should not be thinking explicitly like that, right? A nine-year-old girl should be worried about being a princess, you know, or I don't know, maybe even at the worst case scenario, Pokemon. Okay. She should not be worried about some pervert taking a picture of her while she's using the bathroom on an airline. So that right there is insane that that was even brought up ever. I know they retracted it, but if I was that family, I would be like, no, this is going to court and we're going to ream you for every ounce we can get because we think a jury of seven is going to go, you know what? You guys are fucked for ever doing this. We don't care that you retracted it. We don't care. The whole bottom line is you said this at first, and then when we filed the lawsuit, this just what it looks like to me, allegedly, don't know for sure, but from what I've heard, and it sounds to me like they got the lawsuit, and then they're like, we didn't mean that. We don't know what, you know. No, it doesn't work like that. That's kind of like walking up to someone and punching them right in the face and going, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And then the guy's like, oh, okay, man, my nose is bleeding and probably broke, but, you know, it's cool. You didn't mean it. Am I right or wrong, Rob?
You're right. You are so correct.
Yeah, so, Rob, you got thoughts? Go ahead.
I think the person that did it should be hung, for one.
Well, it's in Texas, so I think there's a reasonable... thought that they're going to be very harsh on him.
He'll be dealt with.
Yeah, if it's in...
But that company has to step up. They really should.
If it was in, like, an East Coast city, upper East Coast, they'd probably try to hug him. Well, let's just hug it out. He didn't mean to. He said he's reformed. So, anyhow,
But the airlines should have to step up and take responsibility, too.
Yeah, Eddie Vedder would want to try to hug this guy, right? Come here. You didn't mean it. Anyhow, Rob, go ahead.
Okay, bear with me on his name.
Okay. I couldn't say negligent, okay? You have nothing to worry about, Rob.
I don't know. I think this might be Japanese.
Okay. They'll just make up something.
On Tuesday.
Hukakishaka said. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get the closest I can. Okay.
Okay.
On Tuesday, the sports world learned that Takaru Kabashi is retiring from competitive eating.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Kabachi is the right name for him. Yeah, you did really good on that, Rob. Yeah, that was really close, if not dead on. Yeah, Kabachi is the famous eater that, like, can, like, slam down all these hot dogs. He's a little skinny Japanese guy. And,
okay, well,
Kabashi 46 won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest 6 times over the course of his career. He was once referred to as the godfather of competitive eating.
Mm-hmm.
Kabashi announced his retirement in a Netflix documentary called Hack Your Life Health, The Secrets to Your Gut. It turns out his body has taken a hit from eating so much processed food. For the past 20 years, I have been in this field, he said, via the New York Post. I worry about the consequences of my decision, but most importantly, I want to repair my brain and gut.
Okay.
And once fans heard about it, they started hitting social media pretty hard, so.
Okay, yeah, Kabachi is like, he's like this legend.
Yeah, he is.
He has a huge following and people love him. Me, I don't know. I've always kind of viewed gluttony as not good. And I mean, how would you like to be a country that is, in air quotations, food insecure and see that we're like throwing hot dogs at people at a stadium and we're eating as many hot dogs as we can get our mouth around? Gluttony has got to be disgusting to people in need, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And like he said, it takes a toll on your health.
Yeah, absolutely. All those nitrates and the processed meat and all that stuff. I mean, you know, fucking cow eyes, ears, and fucking balls and whatever. I mean, I guess they'd be bulls then. All the throwaway meats they grind up, put some seasoning in it, and put it in a casein, and it's full of nitrates and other chemicals. It cannot be good for you, and I think that he's probably smarter than I thought for getting out of it. So,
yeah,
so anyhow, yeah, okay, well, a lot of people are saddened by this news because I was really surprised by the fanfare of this Kabachi guy. So
yeah, I kind of sort of knew who he was, and I read this, I was like, oh wow, he was bigger than what I thought.
There's
a lot of people tweet.
Okay, man. I mean, I think he's smarter than what I thought. So, and that's just my opinions on this stuff, man. I just kind of view it as wrong. When like all these countries are in need of food, and we're over here throwing hot dogs at a guy, parachuting hot dogs, and eating as many of them as we can. Don't you think that's kind of wrong?
Yeah, I do.
If I was one of these countries in need, and I heard that like we're like throwing hot dogs at somebody, I'd be like, what the fuck? Why don't you send them over here? We need food. They would not give a shit if it's a hot dog full of nitrates. That would keep them alive for another couple of days. So, anyhow, that's my opinion on it. So, anyhow, you got anything more to say about it, Rob, or is that it?
No, that's all I had on that.
Okay, all right, let's take our second break and come back with some more stuff. That sound good?
Sounds good.
That's what we'll do then.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. We can tell you what you can eat.
For an apocalypse, you will probably need a good insecticide. Soybean, corn, and peppermint oil are some plant extracts that create powerful natural insecticides. They are some of nature's best organic and natural pesticides that, when combined, can make a far more superior weapon that growers can effectively use to improve their integrated pest management on their crops or on their person.
Raise my hand. That needs to happen.
No bat light here. These idiots just show up and hope for the best.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, hey, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
Where did podcasts originate? The term was first coined by Ben Hammersley, a writer for The Guardian, in 2004 by combining the words iPod and broadcasting. In 2005, Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, introduced the idea of subscribing to a podcast by building the concept into the iTunes interface. Who made the first podcast ever? 2004, Adam Curry and Dave Weiner are credited with the invention of podcasting. Who exactly did what is up for dispute, but in the end, these are the two guys who got it rolling. The term podcasting was mentioned by Ben Hammersley in the Guardian newspaper article.
Two douchebags and a microphone says, you ever dream about eating chocolate pudding and wake up with a spoon in your ass? Just asking.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Urine as useful as a condom with holes.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh. We offer you first world problems.
My 76-inch smart HDMI, triphonic, stereo TV. My remote won't work unless I'm right in front of it. I can't believe it. This is bullshit.
Once again, it's time for Ramblings of a Madman.
I believe Congress needs to synchronize tap dance for 20 minutes before each session. That needs to happen.
Mark.
And I'm Rob.
I'm getting ready to present a list of foods that completely flopped that will never come back because they flop so bad. That sound good?
All right.
Good. And I remember every one of these, I was surprised. So, okay. Number one, Dunkaroos. Remember those? I think they're little like flying saucer-shaped treats, and you're supposed to like dunk them in milk, I believe, right? If I remember correctly, hang on, let me take a look here. Dunkaroos. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Anyhow, they flopped so big that the company said that they would never make it again. And you know what? I don't know about this list. They're still selling them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was right. They're little saucer-shaped... Well, some of these on this list I know are true. They might have just brought it back. What it is the vanilla cookies with rainbow chip frosting, and you're supposed to dunk them. You take the little saucer bread-like stuff, and you dump it in the rainbow chip frosting. And then they have different kinds. So, okay, it looks to me like all of them were discontinued except for this rainbow chip frosting vanilla cookie one. I think that's what happened. Okay. So, anyhow, I think it was discontinued, but it looks to me like it was brought back not too long ago. So, I think this article was old enough just to not know that it was brought back. So, I don't think the article's wrong, per se. I think at the time it was written, it was right. So, okay. Next one, and this is different than the fruit roll-ups they have now. The fruit roll-ups they have now are like real fruit, and they look kind of like taffy, right? They're flat and they're rolled up. Okay, these fruit roll-ups were the ones that were on a stick. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about because...
Yeah, I forgot about those.
Yeah, because when they said this, I did a little research and I'm like, wait a minute. Those are still around. I seen them the other day. No, they're talking about the original fruit roll-ups. And they were made by...
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah,
you
like...
pull them out, they come out of the tube...
Yeah, it was, yeah. So those are gone too, and they're not coming back. They flopped huge, I guess. This next one, you'll remember, and it flopped big time. 3D Doritos. Remember those?
Yeah, I remember
those. They were puffed in the middle. They just didn't taste good. I think because they were like made out of puffed corn and not fried corn, maybe. Was that it? Could that be it, maybe?
Yeah, that very well could have been the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so 3D Doritos, I knew that was a flop, and I knew that wasn't coming back, so yeah, agreed. This next one they did bring back, and it did really well, and then it went away again, and I don't understand it, because it's like a cult classic, especially among Xers that grew up on this, okay? And you'll know exactly when I say this, you'll go, oh yeah, Surge soft drink. It was it was like a citrusy, a harder tasting Mountain Dew with full of caffeine. And the whole idea was behind it is you know, you're going to get a surge of energy from this kind of a fruity type of citrusy drink. Now, it went away the first time, and then people brought it back because they demanded it. They kept writing, I don't know, I can't remember if it was Pepsi or who did it, Schweppes or somebody, came out with it. And then they sold it to another company. I think it could have been, if I remember right, like maybe Pepsi-Cola came out with it first. And then they sold it to Schweppes. And then Schweppes did it for a while because Pepsi didn't think they were making enough money off of it or something, if I remember correctly. And then...
I believe you're right in that order.
Yeah. And then they brought it back because there was like outpouring of people going, we want Surge back. Well, I remember seeing a lot of people our age drinking Surge for a couple of years, and now it's gone again. So I don't understand, and this being a flop, I don't agree with that. I don't think it was a flop, unless it like served its course and then it dropped off and everyone forgot about it. I guess it could be, because some of these, you know, they went really well at first, and then people got tired of them and they went away. So, okay, the next one is Butterfinger BBs. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. They look like little malted milk ball kind of things, but they're Butterfingers. Yeah. I liked them myself. I thought they're pretty unique.
I did, too.
Yeah, I thought they're good. But, I mean, I don't think they lasted but maybe a half a year, maybe. They were not around that long. I mean, they were like, done after, like, maybe, I don't know, I'd say 3 months, maybe. You couldn't find them anymore. So, the next one... And you'll remember it because they still have a version of this cereal, but they just don't have French Toast Crunch. They have Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but French Toast Crunch went away. It didn't do that well. Do you even remember that? It was out vaguely for a little bit, maybe about 12 years ago. Yeah. And it was like a concoction. They're like, oh, you like cinnamon? We'll try our new French Toast Crunch. But the whole thing was, is it wasn't that good. It didn't stay crispy in milk. It got soggy. It lost its taste, if I remember correctly. And they're essentially, I don't know, by the time you got done, you might as well have ate a fucking bowl of Wheat Thins or whatever. Or what was that wheat stuff? Was it Wheat Thins or something? I don't know. That was made by the stranded wheat. Anyhow, okay, forget it.
It
was horrible. Oreo cereal, another one. I didn't like it because I didn't think the taste went very well. It didn't stand up. If I remember correctly, you're thinking Oreos cookies. Oh, it's going to taste like cookies and milk. I don't think that they found a strong enough flavor to put in it to stand up to the milk.
Actually, I thought you ended up with more flavor in the milk than you did on the cereal.
I think you're right. I think you're right on that, Rob. That sounds about correct. I don't remember that much about it, but I do remember that. Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. This next one's going to take a minute. But all you got to think is like little... what would you call them? Not jelly bean. Little shark flavored fruit snacks. Shark Bite Fruit Snacks is the name of them. Remember them? They came in little packages, plastic packages, and they look like little sharks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't have anything against them. It's just like those little fruit things like that really didn't appeal to me. So I never was a fan of them, and I didn't run out and get them at all anyhow, so it didn't matter to me. But I don't know what was actually wrong with them. Do you? Did you ever eat them?
No, not really. I never...
You're never into that kind of stuff either, were you? Yeah. I think that's the problem is, I think, like, when the stuff came out, no one was really into that stuff. Now they have fruit snacks, but, like, the younger generation is buying that for their kids. They're like, you know, we're not doing the processed sugar. We're going to do real, you know, we're going to do real fruit dried or something like that. Because that's kind of the rage now, is, like, dried real fruit. So, you know... So something like this wouldn't go well because it's full of processed sugar and gelatin. So, and then finally, and I remember I tried it over at Davies, and it was, me and him both went, ugh, and that was it. But, I got to give you a little background on this. Okay. Davey and I have this passion for Dr. Pepper knockoffs. Okay. That is someone that tried to copy the Dr. Pepper formula, okay? And they didn't do it. Or in one case, it was better than Dr. Pepper, but they quit selling it. And now Dr. Pepper Schweppes owns the recipe to it because they own RC Cola. So here's what happened. It was called Dr. Knee-High. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That was a fantastic drink. And they discontinued it. And now that RC, well, RC doesn't own it, but I mean, it's owned by Schweppes, Dr. Pepper, I believe. Dr. Pepper's not going to put that out. Why would they? They have a doctor drink, and that's what it is.
Right.
So they're not going to put out Dr. Knee-High, so that ownership of that isn't in the right. You know, if they ever sell it, someone might try it again. I would love to have it again. I'd love to see it and have it.
The whole Knee-High line was the best.
Oh yeah, well you can
still
get the original formula Knee-Highs. There's this place here in Kansas City called KC Soda Company. It's at the City Market. You can go there and it has like these runs. Like someone will buy the rights to make a run to the original Knee-High recipe. And like the original Nesbitt recipe, Nesbitt Orange, the original Fanta, the original all of this stuff. They even have a Kickapoo Joy Juice was kind of like the original Mountain Dew. And what they do is they kind of lease it to these bottling companies, okay? And they're like gimmick sodas. They're like, okay, this is the old recipe, and it is the old recipe with the real cane sugar and the less ingredient in it and, you know, and more of just like natural flavors or whatever, okay? So it is the original formula, and they'll do it in runs, and they'll make like, I don't know, 300,000 of them and then stop. And then maybe a couple years later, they'll come out with it again. So you can get the original Knee-High at times from specialty soda companies, or you can find it online. And it's all in bottles. They don't sell it in cans. It's all in bottles. And I'll tell you what, I will get a couple of them when we finally meet up, wherever that is. I will have a couple of a Knee-High grape, a Knee-High orange, and a Knee-High peach. How does that sound?
Right on.
Yeah, because those were the three best, I believe, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe so.
Peach, orange, and grape.
That Dr. Knee-High wasn't too shabby, man.
No, it was a great drink. And I think that it, like, what was it? I think the company itself, whoever owned it at the time, the Knee-High Beverage Company, was having a lot of financial issues. So they chose to discontinue it because they couldn't really go up against Dr. Pepper because Dr. Pepper had the markets everywhere in the shelf space. I don't know if that's true, but I thought it was something like that, right? So, this Rice Krispie Treats was in response to, I was in the Panhandle doing a job, the Florida Panhandle, and they have this Dr. Pepper knockoff that I'd never seen before. It was called Dr. Wham. And let's see if they still make it. And it was pretty good. It wasn't a Dr. Knee-High, but it was decent. And I send Davey a picture back going, hey, you ever see this shit? And he's like, no, no, no. So I came back with some of it in my suitcase. And, and anyhow, we tried it, and it was like, okay, it's pretty good. And so then he called me a couple days later. He's at his house, and he goes, hey, man. He goes, I got some Rice Krispie Treat cereal here. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. Rice Krispie Treat cereal. Yeah. And we tried it, and it was good, but I mean, it's not going to go anywhere because it isn't better than Dr. Pepper. It's not quite to the level of Dr. Pepper. It's just different. It's more maybe a cherry cola type of drink or something than Dr. Pepper itself. You know what I mean? So it's good, but here's what it says about Dr. Wham. Dr. Wham is a Pepsi-produced soda that's similar to Dr. Pepper in flavor and nutritional value. It contains 1% sodium, 9% carbohydrates, 26 to 27 grams of sugar, and 100 calories per 8-ounce serving. Dr. Wham is only sold in areas where Pepsi doesn't have the rights to sell Dr. Pepper, such as Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. It's available in 2 liters, cans, and in a diet form. So, okay. All right, so you can still buy Dr. Wham. You know, if I ever run across it again, I will buy some and bring it to you, because I didn't know you were interested in stuff like this, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But it was good.
I've never heard of Dr. Wham, though.
Well, reading that, it's
but
like...
I don't live down there either.
Yeah, well, they don't have the rights to sell Dr. Pepper, so I guess they came up with something. They're like, well, let's make our own doctor drink. And it was pretty close, but, you know, it's not Dr. Pepper. And like I said, it's regional in only like 3 states. And it's not even all over Florida. Only found in the Panhandle because, you know, I've been to all parts of Florida, all over Florida, work and play. And I've only saw it down there near Pensacola, that whole area there, you know, that. Alabama border area, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they don't sell it down south further into like the real Florida instead of the Panhandle. So anyhow, all right, so Rice Krispie Treats was good, but him and I both thought it kind of lagged. It was like, yeah, it's good, but it's not great. So we understand why that went away. So anyhow, Rob, you got something?
Yeah. In the early 1970s, a peculiar story began to circulate in the rural community of Louisiana, Missouri. Locals spoke of an enigmatic ape-like creature known as Momo, or the Missouri Monster.
Go ahead.
This is how it got started. This cryptid resembling the legendary Bigfoot captured the attention of many, yet it never quite reached the same level of widespread fame as its counterparts in other regions.
Yeah, it never did. It wasn't a Sasquatch.
Eyewitnesses described Momo as an imposing figure standing at an impressive height of approximately 7 feet. Its body was said to be covered in dark, shaggy fur, and it emitted a foul, putrid odor that lingered in its presence. Perhaps the most striking feature of this mysterious being was its head, depicted as being the size of a pumpkin, with large, glowing orange eyes pierced through the darkness.
I forgot about that.
One of the most well-known alleged sightings of Momo took place on a warm July evening in 1972. Two young boys were playing in their backyard on the outskirts of Louisiana, Missouri, when their playful laughter suddenly turned to screams of terror. Their older sister, Doris, who was in the kitchen at the time, rushed to the window to investigate the commotion. What she eyewitnessed would forever be etched in her memory, a massive dark-haired humanoid creature holding what appeared to be a lifeless dog in its grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been other reports. Although Momo may not have gained the same level of worldwide recognition.
Uh-huh. MoMo was famous to us because we lived around Missouri. I think most Missourians that know a little bit about the history of Missouri, they know about the MoMo. And anyhow, I forgot about the orange, red, glowing eyes. That caught me off guard. I was like, oh yeah, they did say that. There's a lot of people that swear by it, and they're like, yeah, it's there. So it's kind of like a Sasquatch where all these people have seen it, but they can't, you know, they can't prove it's there. But it never did get the same traction as Sasquatch did. Agreed?
Right. Yeah. Right. And you, living down here, you hear people still talking about it all the time.
Oh, they still do? Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, people still talk about it. And there's been sightings down around Branson of Bigfoot.
I knew that there was a Bigfoot-like thing down there. It's actually in Eureka Springs, too, and all in between there, over near Table Rock Lake and Beaver Lake and Bull Shoals. That whole area is supposed to be fertile for these, I guess you'd call them Bigfoot style of monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's a report right here, too.
Yeah, and there's people that swear by it.
And it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
with all the wooded area and the hills.
People like to move down there, but a lot of people don't, because to move in some of those areas, you have to put in your own utilities. People would love to own 300 wooded acres, right? But to own that, number one, a lot of times you got to build a road to go to it, way back in there, and then you got to have all the utilities ran to it. So the road you build probably doesn't have utility lines on it, okay? Unless you were all solar and geothermal, you can't really live there. I mean, it costs too much to put in, because I know someone that was going to do it. He was in the same union I was in, and he was waiting to retire. And he said, yeah, I'm going to retire over there south of Branson, maybe like a little bit west of Theodosia, if you know where that is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he had some land targeted he knew about. A friend of him that lived down near Branson told him about it. And anyhow, he come back one day, and I'm like, well, I said, did you get it? Are you going to buy the land? And he said, no. He said, the reason is because I went down there, and the land was perfect for what I want. Perfect to build a house on, perfect for all that. But he said, you have to build a road, and you have to get the utilities too there. And I don't know enough about solar and geothermal to do anything like that. So I'm kind of at a stuck point. He said, I just can't. I'm going to have to move somewhere that already has utilities in it. So that's how come more people don't move down to that area.
That's a problem down there.
And that's why it's so secluded. That's why you would have a Bigfoot down there, or a MoMo or so. MoMo's more up north, isn't it? MoMo's more like maybe Lake of the Ozarks area.
Well, Louisiana and that area.
Is there a MoMo down there?
The article even went on to say that it had been spotted around Six Flags back in the 90s.
Okay.
Which tells me it's kind of traveling up and down 44 Highway, I-44.
Probably. I mean, you know, like looking for food, you know, there had been a lot of times there was a drought down there, and they had probably maybe had to come up north to find food. Who knows?
That's also on the north side of the Mark Twain National Forest.
Yes. Good point. Yeah, because that is a hell of a forest. There is nothing back there for miles and miles. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
You ever really want to go camping and really rough it? Not glamping, not all no electricity, nothing. Maybe a little little operated battery operated radio or something. But that's it. Okay? That's Mark Twain National Forest. There's no camping there, but they will let you go ahead and camp there if you want, but it's all primitive. And another thing is, at night, have you ever been in that forest at night? I've been camping there at night. The
no, not at night. I've driven through it during the day.
Okay. Have you ever seen... Times. Well, you probably have them where you live. The Missouri tarantulas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are black, some of them are traditional colored, okay? And they're huge. And I don't think they're quite as venomous as whatever the other tarantula is. And they're, like, really shy.
They're not.
They're really shy.
They'll make you sick. They'll
yes.
make you sick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And so, these things are up in the trees at night. And you can shine a light and you can see eight eyes all over these trees. And it's really freaky. Because you're like, oh, shit, what if one of them just jumped down and started jabbing me, and then another one did? It really, you really kind of got get your eye off of that and have a fire going most of the night because you're afraid. The truth is the spiders don't want anything to do with you, right? They see you, and they think, oh, shit, I don't know, that thing might kill me. So they stay away from you. But the whole thought of them up in the trees will freak you out if you sit there, you know, with nothing.
Yeah.
And especially if you shine a light up there like I did, I'm like, oh, man. It's like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. So, and then all the sounds in a forest. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The animal sounds. A panther sounds like a female screaming. I've heard it before. We had a panther over on the other side of Cleveland, Missouri, where I lived. There's this lake over there that a friend of mine owned. And at night, we're camping on the lake, and he told us, he said, if you hear something that sounds like a woman screaming, don't freak out. It's a panther. A panther's not going to get anywhere near you. They don't want near you. But just know that that's a panther. Sure enough, that night, sound like a woman screaming, and never did come over to us. We had a fire going and everything, but he didn't want anything to do with us, the panther. So, and then there's other sounds, too. All different types of crazy mating sounds and stuff that you have no idea exist until you're out there in a forest alone. So, anyhow, I would like to do something like that again, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think I'd like to once.
Well, I mean, you just got to be careful and that's it. You know, you don't let your fire get out of hand. And when you leave, you make sure, you know... Because those forests there are really prone to forest fires. That's why they have all that's why they have all those big towers. Can you still walk up them, or do you know? Like at one in Climax Springs, can you still walk up that one? You used to be able to.
I don't know if you can. I know some of them around here they've shut down.
They probably have other ways. They probably have drones and stuff like that now that they don't have to have a forest guy, a ranger up there in the towers, I bet. I bet you they found better ways of doing it. But they used to let you walk to the top of it.
They were also for visitors, for people to just stop and like a tourist attraction.
Oh, it was beautiful, those lookouts at the top. You get up there.
Yeah.
And, of course, we didn't have cell phones back then, you know. But now it'd just be like cell phone paradise taking all those pictures. But it was just beautiful. You could see for miles and miles and miles of nothing but wooded land, lakes that you didn't know existed back there. Really cool. So, anyhow. All right, Rob, you got anything left? Oh, hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Dodge City, Kansas. Rah, rah. We love you guys. Three out of the seven people that live there. Listen, no, there's more, quite a few more people in Dodge City than that, so... Anyhow, I'm pretty much done. Are you?
Yeah, that's about all I have tonight, buddy.
Yep, I think I'm winding down too, Rob. Anyhow, thank you all for listening. Have a fantastic evening. We love you guys. Thanks, assholes. Good night.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.